How many voted in the last election? Yeah? Yeah, those numbers seem about right. About less than half of you. That seems right. I was in that age group, that great 18 to 25 age group that didn't vote. 17% of us voted. 70, despite P. Diddy's rousing vote or die campaign. It's really inspired me to hate his music more. And we're all sitting there going, no, P, we'll die because we're not buying another T-shirt, you sellout. Because that's what it was about for him. It was about T-shirts. And you know it was about T-shirts because his number one spokesperson was for Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton, she didn't register to vote. What a whore. We discussed that earlier. But no, Paris Hilton, she's sitting there going, vote or die. Vote or die. Maybe eat something. I don't. It's ironic that I'm a commercial about food. Don't you think? And I apologize if I offended anybody by calling him P. Diddy. I know he's just Diddy now. He made that announcement so the world would know. He went on the Today Show, goes, I'm Diddy now. And they ask him why, and he goes, I felt the P was getting between me and my fans. What is he, R. Kelly? Like, what? All right, that's appropriate to O. I can give you that. You gotta be, you know what? You gotta be a little bit embarrassed about what we do politically. I wanna tell people to go vote, but first of all, we gotta understand our process better. The Republicans need to come out and admit when something goes wrong. George Bush's first bunch of campaign ads showed a bunch of blown up in the background. He comes on and goes, I'm the anti-terrorism president. That's great, George. Who is the pro-terrorism president? The next commercial, John Kerry running on a bus with a backpack and leaving it there? Is that what? But if you're a Democrat, you have just as much to be embarrassed about. You ran John Kerry for president. What the hell were you thinking? Let's take a tree from the Wizard of Oz, make it president. That'll be a fantastic idea. Worked out swimmingly. In the last election, I chose Gore over Bush. I did. But when I rent movies, it's the other way around. And you guys shut off when I got political. You guys were, we can't listen. Oh, it's a beaver joke. I'm a... Tell me more, beaver man.
All right. Here we are live in studio. The gentleman you just heard has joined us now in studio. His name is Steve Hofstetter. He's a very funny comedian. We play him here all the time, the Sports Minute or so. And unlike the world's like Biggest Loser when it comes to sports, I don't follow sports. I don't watch sports.
I thought those were the New York Mets.
but I love your Sports Minute.
Thank you.
I actually like play it because it's funny. And even though some of the references I don't get, but then like guys will call up and explain it to me. Like,
well, we try to make it fairly accessible.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The idea is sort of, you know, the same way that if you know politics, you'll like The Daily Show better, but you don't need to know politics in order to enjoy the jokes.
There you go. Yeah.
And so that's what we try to do with the Sports Minute.
Nice, nice. You used to do, or do you still do, Four Quotas?
No, I used to. Four Quotas was a show I did on Sirius, and I left it to do the Sports Minute because I syndicate that for broadcast. So, you know, you can't really do satellite and broadcast too much at the same time. Now they're crossing over because now, you know, they're just fighting for talent.
Okay.
You know, but when I left, it was to syndicate.
Okay.
And, you know, it went well. 162 stations. So.
Nice.
Yeah, and what's great is that unlike satellite, broadcast actually has listeners.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Because I have satellite, and you know, and I love it, but you can only listen to one station at a time, and there are 150 of them.
Okay.
You know, so how am I gonna possibly reach anyone being on one of the 150 stations? So this way, I'm on one station in every town in America, and that way, you know, that way I can hit more people.
Awesome. Awesome. I really dig your stuff. You're
Thank you.
Very funny, man. I like your cover for your CD.
Thank you. Stuff Magazine, album cover of the month.
Oh, really?
Which is great because when it came out, I mean, you know, you gotta realize it's not comedy album cover of the month. You know, it's all the other album covers that were out there. Yeah, I was really excited about that. That was probably the highlight of the accolades.
I've had this for a long time now, and yesterday I was staring at it because I knew you're coming on, and I looked at it and I went, that's a coax cable.
Yeah,
there's a noose hanging the cable guy, which is, you know, like a doll. but he's dressed up like Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, and he's hanging with a coax cable. Yes. That was that. And actually, if you look really closely, like, I don't know if you can see it on the CD, but on the posters, yeah, you could see that the coax actually says Radio Shack. Because I mean, the guy who put the art together for the cover was fantastic. You know, originally it was supposed to be me holding the coax, and just we were looking at this image, and it was just so striking that we were like, you know what, we don't even need me on there. I'm on the back of the CD. I think you have the advanced copy. Okay. So, you know, I'm on the back of the CD, but the cover is just, it's very striking. The weird part is that, you know, some people are so dumb when it comes to what they get angry about, that I had people write to me saying, how dare I hang a black man? And I was like, you are an idiot. I'm hanging, first of all, he's clearly white in the picture.
Yeah.
Second of all, I'm hanging a racist. I'm making the very political statement that they're trying to make when they're getting mad at me. I'm hanging a racist character. You know, of course I'm hanging it. There's history behind it. But like, how? Because there's such a knee-jerk reaction that the second they see something that kind of reminds them of something else, they don't get the satire. They just, you know, immediately. What idiots. But it only happened twice. Only two separate idiots thought that character on the cover was somehow black. I don't know.
It's clearly not a black guy. Jay, you didn't see the guy?
Maybe a black albino? I don't know.
I looked at it. I don't know where he got that. Whoever said that to you, I don't know where he got that idea.
I've realized that the more exposure I've gotten, you know, the more cross-section of people I've been exposed to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not just that they get exposed to me. I get exposed to them, too. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I've realized there are so many different types of people in this world. Mm. You cannot possibly please everybody. You know, for everyone who likes one joke, there's someone else who hates it.
Sure.
You know, the same way that they're going to be fans of different sports teams, they're going to be, you know, people who are on the extreme left and on the extreme right. Mm. You know, everybody, if you do a joke about how murder is bad, I will bet you someone will get offended somewhere.
Sure.
You know, some guy on death row, hey, how dare you? How dare you, sir? So, you know, you just got to give up sometimes. You just got to give up on the concept of pleasing everybody. You just got to realize it's not going to happen.
Okay, cool. Are you, were you on like a tour where you go around the whole United States doing stand-up?
I'm playing in Philly tonight, playing at Drexel University tonight. It's actually, it's a charity show. I did it last year also. It was great. 250 people came out and a lot of fun, you know, nice auditorium, and I forget the name of the venue. I'm sorry, but Drexel at 8 o'clock tonight. And if anybody wants to, you know, drive over to Philly, you can just go to collegecomic.com. You can see the information right there. I think tickets are like $8. Nothing. Right, it's awesome. A charity event, you know. And students are running it, so you know they understand college students aren't going to pay, you know, $8 for just anything.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
So to everyone else listening, they're like, wow, $8 is a really reasonable price. To college students, they're like, $8? Yeah. How dare you?
I like your on your website, there's an animation.
Oh, the cartoon?
Yes.
I played
it on the air.
The cartoon was a lot of fun. That was something where I got to help storyboard it and everything, you know, and really got to make the joke come to life, which was really cool. And it was done, my label put it together, and they represent Jib Jab.
Okay.
So, you know, they worked with some of the same animators, and it was great. You know, it was just a lot of fun. And it's actually the first draft came back, and, you know, they had me completely cartoony, but it didn't look like me at all. Okay. And I was like, you know, you have these cartoons where you put people's actual heads on there. Why don't you just do that?
So
they just animated the picture of my face.
Oh, okay.
So it's you know, the cartoon body and the regular face, which is definitely a weird look. But I like it. And you know, anytime you can become a cartoon, that's a realization of a childhood dream.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's next? A Wheaties box? You know, that's the next step. So. Yeah, I'm happy to be a cartoon.
Yeah, that's awesome. I used to like I was a big Stern fan growing up when I was 20 till.
I did radio last night with Jackie the Joke Man.
No way.
Yeah, last night on Joey Reynolds up in New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I had never met him before, but we got along really well.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Very funny guy.
They used to do like animation of, they would take some of the segments of the radio show and animate it, and that was just friggin' hilarious. I mean, like, I forget what the hell it was. It was like Howard talking about how how tall he was and if he was in Japan. And Jackie was only, oh, you tall. And like it was cartoon drawings of Howard like walking through New York as tall as he is or whatever.
Yeah, well, you can, I mean, that's the fun thing with animation is you can really make anything happen with it. You know, you can really expand the story. And that's why, you know, shows like, you know, Family Guy, you know, it's so out there. You know, it is so, and you know, in South Park and and you know, they're allowed to push the envelope because you don't need live action.
Yeah.
You know, you can really make anything happen if you want to make it happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you ever see the Cartoon Wars episode of South Park where so that's on demand this month. I watched it on Sunday. It's friggin' hilarious.
It's so hard to watch. And the thing of it, like, and I love Family Guy. Mm. It is one of my absolute favorite shows.
Yeah.
Most episodes are wonderful, and every now and then there is an episode that's like the stuff they were talking about in South Park, where they just throw stuff together randomly, and they just go, hey, this was like the time that blah. But what was great was that Family Guy addressed it. There was an episode last season where there's one point where Stewie says something about, like, you know, oh, that's like the time that blah, and then there's a long pause, and he goes, oh, I thought we had a clip, which I thought was awesome. That is nice.
Thought we had a clip. No clip.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Brilliant
that's
show.
Funny.
It is.
I don't watch much TV at this point. I have a TiVo, so I'm pretty much just, you know, I got into Heroes, which is because Heroes is kind of fun. Heroes on NBC.
I've never seen it.
Oh, Heroes is fun. It's basically kind of live action comic book kind of thing. It's all these people getting superpowers.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, when I was a kid, I liked comic books. I mean, I admit it. I'll come out as a comic book enthusiast. And the thing I always loved is when, like, the comic books would cross over and a bunch of characters were together.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have – and everyone had these different superpowers and it made this big story. And that's basically what Heroes is. It's pretty much like a ton of people discovering they have superpowers and they're all in one big story. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's awful. But it's – you know, and it's cheesy. Of course it's cheesy, but it's fun. It's kind of mindless fun. And Entourage I also absolutely love just because it was – you know, for Entourage, I mean, I'm a Queens kid. I grew up right off of Queens Boulevard.
Okay.
You know, just like they did, and then moved out to L.A. And so it was, you know, it's kind of a similar vibe. And Entourage is very much a show of, hey, what could happen?
Oh, okay.
You know, it's well, you know, because everybody's on it. You know, everybody there is famous, and they're all successful. And, you know, which is a fun thing for someone to watch. It's a fun thing to put yourself in that situation. Anyone who watches Entourage and who's, like, a fan of Entourage is a fan because they want to be famous. You know, that's the appeal of that show.
Cool. Do you know Kenneth Keith Kallenbach, speaking of people who want to be famous?
No, I do not know who that is.
He's that guy in that picture right there.
Oh.
He's the guy on Stern that claimed he could blow smoke out of his eyes.
Oh, jeez.
Like 100 years ago. He was on Stern's first Channel 9 show.
Wow.
And
no.
he said, yeah, I do this trick. I breathe in the smoke. I blow it out of my eyes.
And, yeah, which you could totally see on the radio, too.
Yeah. It didn't work.
Yeah, and I don't understand. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm in a career where I want to be known for something.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I'm a comic. I'm a writer. That's how it works. But I don't understand the whole concept in America of the I'm going to be famous for anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like there's because, you know, like when people were saying that we should have, you know, killed Saddam on television, you know, people were saying, oh, you know, make it pay-per-view and use the, and everybody pay and blah, blah, blah. No, because you know that there'd be some jerk in the middle of the country watching it going, that's how I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be on TV. I'll become a genocidal maniac and kill my own people, and then I could have my own show too.
Yeah.
Just because we have such an emphasis of, you know, of being on television that the people for the most ridiculous things, like all the people on, you know, who go on the talk shows of, you know, it's you know, it's not my baby, and, you know, and,
oh yeah, yeah,
and the Springer stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, they just want to be on television.
Sure.
Yeah.
10 o'clock, 1520 a.m., WCHE, Westchester, where the static is heard worldwide, WCHE1520.com. And you have a gentleman outside. Is he part of your entourage? He's holding up a bag. Are you going to do prop comedy?
No. That's my sandwich for later. We didn't have time. We didn't have time
to
eat on the way down.
Do you want
to
eat?
No, I'll eat after.
No,
I'll
watch you eat. That'll be funny.
I'm doing fine. Yeah, that'll be great radio.
It's
no,
radio
that's
gold.
That's Phil Mazo. He's gonna be performing with me at Drexel.
Oh, nice.
And,
all right, cool.
And yeah, he was nice enough to go and run and get something to eat.
Oh, cool.
Well, because he was starving, so he's like, all right, you're gonna be be on the air. I'm
oh,
go.
You were thinking like this is a real station, we'd have food and stuff.
No. We just didn't have time because, I mean, I had to, you know, I got in at 3 a.m. last night.
Really?
And then, you know, we got to be out of the house by 7 in order to get down here because, okay. You know, I'm coming from Jersey and rush hour traffic isn't exactly pleasant.
Okay.
You know, so we had to be out early. Didn't have time to stop for breakfast, so... You know, so we're both hungry, but I can last. I can deal with it.
All right,
I'm
cool.
A trooper.
All right.
I'll do it.
Where do you live?
I just moved to Jersey. I moved to Montclair.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I was out in L.A. for 3.5 years. And
how was that?
Well, the story that made me move, I got tired of how everybody was so fake out there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a girl I met who I asked her what she did for a living. She said she was an actress.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, you know, that's great. What have you been in? And she said, nothing you know. And, you know, I mean, I didn't explain to her, well, frankly, I don't care. I'm just making conversation. But
sure.
Still, she proceeds to tell me that she's never done community theater. She's never done anything. She's been on one audition in Nebraska before she moved.
Okay.
And that was it. And that made her an actress. So she asked me what I did, and I said, I'm the mayor.
Nice.
Because I voted once, right? Mm-hmm. So clearly, that makes me the mayor. And needless to say, I did not hook up with her. but my friends got a kick out of it. That was actually about 2 years ago. But it's stuff like that that I just couldn't take that in L.A. I'm happy to be back and be an East Coast kid again.
Cool. When she said, "Oh, I'm an actress," you should have said, "Oh, I'm familiar with that. My cousin's on welfare."
Yeah, it's I'm like, well, she's acting like she's an actress at this point, and not very convincing though.
Yeah,
not very convincing. She should act like she's a waitress because then I'd believe her.
You sent an email of, and I take it this is your current girlfriend, who sings an Aerosmith song.
Kelly Sweet is we've been together for a while now. We've been together, together a year and a half.
Nice.
And she is phenomenally talented.
Cool.
She's a recording artist. Her first song, Raincoat, broke the top 10 in AC and Smooth Jazz.
Oh, okay.
And cool. So then the new song is Dream On,
which like Dream On. Classic rock has ruined songs like that, but she does such a different version of it.
Yeah,
it's so friggin' good.
Why am I saying thank you? It's not even my. I'm saying thank you because she's not here. This is what she would say if she were here.
Thank you.
Yeah,
but like Tori Amos did, "Smells Like Teen Spirit."
Yeah.
We play it in steady rotation here.
Yeah,
because it's you know, it's an entirely different version.
Yeah,
of a great song, but done completely. Different interpretation. And the way your girlfriend does Dream On, mm-hmm. I'm going to add that to steady rotation here.
Awesome.
So four people will hear it.
Fantastic. Happy to hear it. So both of you enjoy it.
Yeah.
No, it's great. Kelly's actually, it's really weird because she's absolutely blown up in Japan right now.
Cool.
She's in Japan right now. She's coming back tomorrow. And she's like top 40 over there, and you know, and all these people are stopping her on the street and taking pictures and signing autographs and all this stuff.
Of course they are. It's
now,
Japan. They're taking pictures.
Well, true. Although in fairness, they're only stopping her because she's American.
Okay.
So they don't even know who she is. It's like, you're American. Take a picture with me.
Yeah.
No, it's great. She's really caught on over there. She got nominated for some for International Vocalist of the Year in Canada. And the Smooth Jazz Awards there. And in America, it's been a steady climb because there are so many people here who are sending stuff to radio stations who think that they're good. And Kelly, who's actually got a lot of talent, you know, her stuff has to slowly get to the top of the pile.
Sure.
You know, from all the people, you know, that I'm sure you guys all the time, you know, hear from a label you've never heard of, you know, and it's printed on someone's computer.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
With the ability to make a CD now and the ability, like the equipment, like to have microphones and a multi-track recording device 20 years ago, you would need like 10 grand worth of equipment.
Exactly.
Now you need like 10 cents worth of equipment.
Yeah.
So everybody now is an engineer, they're a recording artist, they're a producer, and they're all multi-track and making these horrible songs.
Well, I produced the Sports Minute myself.
Oh, cool.
I mean, that was something where originally when we first started, you know, we had an engineer and a producer, and you know, and I was just the host. And then I said, you know what, I'm on the road so much, you got to teach me how to do this.
Okay.
And so they taught me how to do it. They told me what equipment I needed to buy, and it was, you know, and I got a little portable studio.
Nice.
It's so embarrassing now, and this is just gonna you know, destroy the image for anyone listening. But the way you do it in a hotel, like if you're in a random hotel room, you know, you don't have a soundproof studio, you don't have any of that stuff. So what you do is you build a blanket tent. You basically build a fort like you're 8 years old, and then that absorbs the sound.
Okay.
And then suddenly you've got a radio studio. And so it's so funny whenever I'm on the road with a comic who I haven't worked with yet, you know, and Thursday comes along and I've got to record it and I'm like, oh, excuse me a moment. And then I build like a bed fort. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm on the radio. Yeah, sure you are. Yeah. Sure you are.
That's like, awesome.
I really am.
You're in a little a mattress fort.
Yeah, it's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. And whenever I'm on the road with Kelly, she always laughs at me for doing it.
That's
and she knows exactly what I'm doing. You know, she's an artist, but it's still ridiculous to see a grown man in a fort.
That's wild stuff. What is your website? Is it do you have stevehofstetter.com? I always just click on the link that
yeah,
I
but
get
no
sent.
Yeah, so, no one's going to be able to spell Hofstetter. So it's there are a couple of ways. You can go to collegecomic.com,
okay.
And that'll get you there. Or you can go to myspace.com/comedy.
Okay.
And that's because that's the best MySpace URL ever.
Oh, okay.
Because it's just MySpace/comedy. It's so easy to remember.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll do radio with people who are like, yeah, you know, my MySpace is myspace.com/Jeff37, purple,
yeah.
A number symbol.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, just comedy. Pretty easy to remember.
Oh, so that's not...
No, that's me. That's me.
Oh,
that's my personal...
You're a friggin' genius.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well,
nice.
I was on it early. It was me, Tom, and three guys selling ringtones. That's all it was. It was the first day that they were available, because they weren't available right away, and it was a new thing that they did, and they emailed everybody saying, hey, you can go pick yours. And I was thinking to myself, this is like the first day of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now everyone's so trained to not go for the easy words, because the easy words are all gone.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the first day. The easy words are still here.
Nice.
So I just went for /comedy to make it look official, and they almost bought it off of me.
Wow.
MySpace was interested in buying it off of me.
Damn.
Yeah. And then they realized that like they could just direct people wherever they want, so they didn't need to pay me anything.
God, when I hear you say that at the end, like there's like a plug that we play that's part of it that I always play it after the sports.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's just the general MySpace comedy.
Yeah, I thought like, okay, then I go in there and then I put in search Steve Hofstetter.
No, you know how many you know how many accidental hits I get from people just going to that site thinking that they're just going to find general comedy and then they're stuck with me?
Oh, that's
awesome. Fantastic.
That's brilliant. Nice work, sir.
Thank you. All right.
10:09, 15:20 a.m. WCHE, Westchester, where the static is. Joined here by Steve Hofstetter, and you can get him at his rather unique website, myspace.com/comedy.
Yeah. Even if you're not on MySpace, you can still see it. I know some people are afraid of I'm not on MySpace. I can't go. Yeah, you can.
Oh, okay. You don't have to be like a member. Like,
you
go to view it, and it's private, so you have to be an ad or something.
Yeah,
like
but I'm not a 14-year-old girl.
Exactly.
You know?
Okay.
So
yeah.
I mean, I have been in past lives, but no, I'm of course I'm going to make it public. You know, I have to. Again,
nice.
I got to try to be a celebrity. So
awesome. All right, we'll have to become friends on our MySpace because we have
we do need to be.
Yes, we have MySpace/WCHE 1520 AM or something. Real easy to remember.
Ugh. Yeah.
We don't use our MySpace that much. Like a friend of ours that does a show here does that, and we have WCHE1520.com, which a friend that helps us out. Kathy does a great job with our website, and that's what we do. We have no money, and friends do stuff. And let's go to Mike. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey now.
Hey now.
Hey. First of all, Steve, I hear you have a smoking hot girlfriend.
I do, Mike, and I am proud of it.
That's fantastic.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like mine?
At one time, I had a hottie.
Nice.
Yeah, it was his.
It's my ex senior year high school teacher.
Yeah.
What your high school teacher?
Yeah.
Wow, that's beyond hottie. That's like two fantasies at once.
Yeah.
So now
I've been to that website.
You know, did you ever watch Hogan's Heroes?
Oh, I get this question all the time.
Major Hofstetter.
But it's spelled very differently.
Jay's in the next booth.
Jay actually left.
The quarterback, Jeff Hofstetter. You know, I get that a lot, too.
Uh-huh.
You know, and when I was living in New York and I was 11 and he won a Super Bowl, yes, I was related to him then.
Okay.
You know, at that point, he was my first cousin who just spelled it differently. But, you know, I get that all the time. You know, and there's also a historian, Richard Hofstadter. And, you know, when I was in school and we had to read him in class, everybody was like, oh, this is like your dad. And, you know, so I get that a lot. You
now,
know,
where did you grow up?
I grew up in Queens.
Okay.
I'm a New York City boy, born and raised, and made the mistake of moving out to LA, and I'm now back on the right coast.
Yeah. All right. All right, man. Have a good one.
All right, thank you.
You too, Mike.
All right, take it. All right, there he goes.
I knew exactly where he was going with the Hogan's Heroes thing. I've definitely heard that before. I didn't really watch Hogan's Heroes since I'm 28. That was before. I guess it wasn't really syndicated much,
Okay.
So I mean, I've heard of it. You know, I've certainly heard of it. I mean, my father was the one before I even heard of Major Hockstadter. My father was basically like, "This is something you're going to hear the rest of your life.
Okay.
People are going to bring this up to you."
Was it spelled the same and pronounced the same?
No,
not like Stettler.
No, because it's like Hockstadter.
Oh,
it's, and it's Hock instead of Hoff. But I still get it a lot. People.
Okay.
When I was growing up, I mean, I was Steve Hopscotch, and anything that remotely sounded similar.
Sure, is that a German name, Hofstadter?
Yeah, it's we're Austrian actually.
Oh, okay.
And I explained that to someone once. They were like, "Oh, are you German?" I'm like, "No, it's a German name, but we're Austrian." They're like, "How's that possible?"
From,
like,
down under?
Yeah, I'm like, well, there was a bit of an occupation at one point, where Germany had the tendency to invade other countries. It just
I've heard of that.
Yeah, every now and then they would expand their. Their horizons.
Jay and I were talking the other day, and I don't know what came up, but somebody's name was Miller, and I go, "Oh, she's German." And Jay goes, "Oh, German, that's an English name." I go, "It's E-R, it's German." I go, "Dasher, yeah. German. Collier, German." The guy who just called was Collier.
Yeah.
I go, "Hitler, German." And Jay's like, I'm like,
"Hitler's a German name? I didn't even know that." I thought that was French.
Yeah. So Jay couldn't believe that I just figured anyone's name who ends in E-R was German, but... I think that
Potter,
I know that.
Harry Potter is German. Obviously.
Yeah.
Hofstadter actually means barn raiser, and we actually got the name. I have a weird family history. We got the name because we're a bunch of hired mercenaries.
Oh, really?
This is what happened. My family back in the day, there was a war. I think maybe it was Franco-Prussian War. I don't know, but back one of the many European wars that seemed to happen every year or so.
Okay.
And we were Alperovich, and the Alperoviches or the Hofstadters, got drafted and they had to go to war, and the Hofstadters paid the Alperoviches to take their name and to become Hofstadters so that they would go to war for them. And the Alperoviches went to war as Hofstadters, all survived, came back with the money, and now we have the name and the money.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, so eat it, Hofstadter. Now we're you. So yeah, I come from a long line of hired mercenaries. I think that's a fun family history.
Wow, yeah. Who else can say that? That's good stuff. Very nice. You're playing tonight at Drexel University.
Yes,
8:00.
Mm-hmm.
And it's somewhere at Drexel.
Yes, it's at Drexel. If you want info and you want to be able to get, and you could just show up and get tickets at the door.
Okay.
These things never sell out because they're a huge auditorium.
Oh, okay.
But it's. Last year was pretty well packed.
Nice.
And and this is the second year of it, so hopefully it'll be more. And it's kind of cool because I've heard from there's a group at Lehigh that emailed me that's going over, and there was a group at at UPenn that's going over, and so
cool.
A bunch of the neighboring schools are all kind of converging on Drexel tonight, so it should be fun.
Excellent.
It'll be my fourth time playing Drexel.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
You're called the Thinking Man's Comic.
Terribly inaccurately, but yes, that is what I'm called.
And you were on, what was that show, Last Comic Standing?
I don't even like talking about that. I was on one episode a couple of years ago. It's a terrible show. It's an absolutely terrible show. I've got real credits that I'm proud of.
Oh, let me hear.
I was on VH1's Countdown this year.
Oh, okay.
I was on White Boys in the Hood on Showtime. I was on, quite frankly, on ESPN, where Stephen A. Smith yelled at me for 3 minutes.
Oh, cool.
Just yelled at me for a solid 3 minutes. Really great interview.
Yeah.
He's a really great interviewer, the way he basically goes, "You're wrong! I'm right! Who's the next guest?"
Oh, man.
It's basically, yeah.
Wow. Well,
it was fun. It makes a good YouTube clip, though.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Is it clean?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's clean. Yeah. Well, it's, ESPN.
Right. I don't even know if I can play that. It's ESPN's material.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if you're allowed.
Yeah, okay.
I know ESPN is listening right now to the station. They're the ones. And this coming year, I'm really excited. I've got coming up on ABC. I'm going to be on a Barbara Walters special.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I was associate producer of it. My first big AP credit. And I also did some comedy on it because they're doing some stand-up. It's about living forever. And they had some comics do some stand-up about whether or not we'd want to live forever.
Okay.
So, I wrote a bunch of jokes about the Fountain of Youth and I mean, my basic premise on the show was that no one's ever going to find the Fountain of Youth because we don't start looking for it until we're old.
Okay.
And old people can't find anything. So, I mean, that was, and nice. Then, you know, and I went on from there, but that was the, that's what's, I guess that's what's going to make it to air. So
excellent.
I'm excited about it. And I haven't even, you know, I see you by the button. I don't know if we have to go to like commercial or what we're doing,
oh,
but
we have a hard break coming up. No, I'm just kidding.
Hard break. I don't know. Cause I want to, I haven't plugged my book yet. I got my book just came out.
It's called Balls, right?
Yeah. My book is called Balls, which allows me to say the most flippant things and get away with it. Cause the FCC is so strict.
Sure.
But I have a book called Balls that's obviously about sports.
Yeah.
And so I can say, hey, I hope you enjoy my balls. Or maybe one day my balls will be on your coffee table. You know, I can say things like that and it's so much fun. It's a sport. And the website for it is readmyballs.com. And the reason for that is because Buy My Balls was taken.
Really?
And yeah, I'm not making that up. That is not a bit. Buymyballs.com was taken. Yeah. And I don't know by who because I'm afraid to visit it because I don't want that in my history. You know, I don't want like Kelly to come home and use my computer and be like, buy my ball. I'm like, no, it's for the book. It's a sports thing. I swear.
Oh, that's awesome. That's very brilliant.
Thank you. Yeah, so readmyballs.com. That is
nice. Readmyballs.com.
Yes. For any
sports fans. Why do I have to write? I'm writing it down. Readmyballs.com. All right, cool.
As long as you keep saying it, I don't care if you write it down. As long as everybody out there in Radio Land is reading my balls.
Did you ever watch QVC?
I have watched QVC. Well, actually, Kelly was they did a whole thing with her album.
Okay.
So, but I watched QVC. Because, you know, when you're in college and it's 3 in the morning and you're drunk, QVC is about the best thing you can watch.
Absolutely. Now, have you ever seen the infomercial for it's like a Ron Popeil's chicken rotisserie oven?
Yes.
And there's a gentleman on
Where
there.
Where are you going with this?
Well, I'm going to the phones because on the phone is the star of that.
Really?
Yes. Steve Bryant. Legendary Steve Bryant. Radio personality extraordinaire. He's been in, he has a book called Selling the Way America Buys. And Steve Bryant, welcome to the show.
Yeah, but he has a much cooler title for his book.
Balls.
Well,
that's brilliant. Brilliant.
Thank you very much. I actually wanted to call it Balls and Nuts, A Guide to Sports and Their Fans. But we decided we'll just go with the shorter Balls.
Sure.
So. Yeah, I am so impressed. You're the infomercial guy, man. This is all. You're like part of my upbringing.
Nice.
I'm part of the lexicon. Well, I'm just calling to tell you how much I really enjoy your Sports Minute. And
oh,
then
thank
some.
You, man.
Very funny stuff. Very, very, very brilliant writer. Very brilliant comedian. You deliver the lines. I mean, so who the hell am I to say that? But I mean, you deliver the lines very, very nicely, and it just. Funny stuff.
Thank
funny
you.
Stuff.
Who are you to say that? You're the infomercial guy for
crying
out loud. That's
well, you should call your book Balls, Set 'em and Forget 'em.
It's you have to realize that my brother and I when I was in high school and then all my college buddies and I would just watch infomercials all night. It was just because it was just, you know, we didn't have cable, you know, so what else are we going to do? You know, we're going to watch the late night infomercials, and we absolutely know that infomercial. Like this is it's such an honor for me.
Cool.
To be talking to the guy that I sarcastically watched for so many years.
Then Steve writes like Steve's done a ton of radio.
Yeah.
And then he did the QVC gig where he bought Nashville. He bought Tennessee and he lives there.
So, nice.
But he also he continues to send us song parodies.
That's great.
And like something will happen 5 minutes later, there's a brilliant song parody in my email box. And so it's like having a guy on staff to write song parodies for us, but we don't pay him anything.
He actually has a song parody of you talking about his song parodies.
Yeah.
That's how quick he is. He just wrote one about me saying that, which is impressive. It's to the tune of Dancing Queen.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is to rhyme Hofstetter? I mean, it's amazing.
No, better, letter, sweater.
Go-getter.
Speaking of infomercials, sweater. Good rhyme with, ridiculous looking sweater. I, you know, it's actually Hofstetter is the problem of it is not the rhyme, it's the meter. Is the real
That's
problem
true.
When it comes to the, when it's come to the name.
Yeah.
But if you can do something, man, I will put it all over my MySpace. I'll tell you that much.
Nice.
Okay. Okay. Well, what's coming to mind is actually that 50s song, 60s song, by Jan and Dean called Popsicle.
Popsicle?
There's a song called Popsicle, and Hofstetter scans perfectly with that.
Excellent. I actually, when I was in high school, my nickname was Hot Stepper, because there's that Eni Kamoz song, the Here Come the Hot Stepper, that song, and everybody would just say, Here Come the Hofstetter.
Oh, cool.
And so, but no one wrote more to it than that. It was just, you know, Here Come the Hofstetter. And that was it. I was like, oh, okay, what's the next line?
Yeah.
Nothing. He's just coming somewhere.
Everybody does that to Steve. Like Tony will do it. The one of our callers, Tony. Jay, who had to leave today. But they'll be like, Steve, I have an idea for a song parody. And they'll just give him, like, the one line.
Yeah, one line. And
then,
be like,
then they
go
want,
with
like,
it.
Half a writing credit for it.
Yeah, go with it.
Steve writes the other 937 lines and plays the bass, plays the guitar,
nice.
You know, plays the drums on it.
937 lines must be American Pie.
Yes, it was American Pie, and of course the latest one, Stairway to Coatesville, which is a whole other thing. Well, Steve, look, I don't want to take up the time here, but I just wanted to call and tell you, you know, good luck, best to you. I mean, looks like things are really starting to take off big time,
and
you're funny, you're brilliant, you're very, very smart, and Kelly Sweet is your girlfriend?
Yeah, isn't that unreal?
Like, I hate you.
The common question that I get about Kelly is, how'd you get her?
Yeah.
And it's the Roger Rabbit syndrome. He makes me laugh. When I first met her, she didn't like me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were on the same label. That's how we met. And we were both with Razor and Ty, you know, Sonny BMG. And and we did this conference together, and you know, we had to share a green room, and before a show, I want to talk to anyone just to get out of my head. Mm. You know, I do not want to be thinking about my material right before a show. And she's the opposite, where right before a show, she doesn't want to talk to anyone. She wants to concentrate on her set. So she's about to go up and sing, and then I have to follow her and, you know, do stand up. And so I'm trying to talk her head off, and she doesn't want to hear anything I have to say.
Wow.
And I had no idea. But we ended up, seeing each other again in LA and hit it off, and we've been together ever since. So I don't know how it happened, but, you know, I'm thanking my lucky stars for it having happened.
Nice.
Not only is she beautiful, she's quite a talent. Randy, you get a chance. Go to YouTube.
Okay.
Her video of Dream On is there with her standing by the beach, and that's just
like a promo video. That's something where the actual video hasn't been shot yet.
You know,
yeah, that's a thing where they did, you know, a couple of years ago before the album came out, just to see what the response would be. But people still like it, so it's up there on YouTube, and you know, people are still watching it. The funniest thing is to see, because people are really getting a hold of her stuff now. Like, she's, you know, she's got a cult following at this point, and people are, like, singing her stuff on YouTube. You know, like, putting videos of themselves singing her stuff, and the videos are awful.
It's
hilarious, though, to know that these, and the funniest thing is these people don't know that she's watching their stuff. If they knew that she was watching their stuff, they'd be, like, freaking out, because she's, like, their favorite singer, and she's sitting there, you know, with her... You know, with her loser, sarcastic boyfriend, you know, making fun of these things. I mean, I'm the one cracking the jokes. She's just laughing. But, you know, we're watching these things. And, like, one person used one of her songs to teach line dancing.
Oh, man.
Which is so weird because it's not a country song, you know. But it's amazing to see what happens out there on the web. You know, now that the web is completely democratic, where everybody's got a webcam and everybody's got recording software.
Sure.
You know, and it all comes with the computer at this point. And so it's amazing to see what people put out there. Especially, you know, I can't wait till someone, like, starts covering my jokes on YouTube. You know, like, here's how I would have told the joke if I were teaching line dancing at the time.
Nice.
Steve, good stuff. Best to you, best to Kelly, and keep up the great work, man.
Hey, thank you much, and I will see you on Late Night TV shortly.
You got it.
All right, cool. Thanks, Steve. Take care. All right, there's Steve Bryant. You can his website is stevebryant.tv. That's stevebryant.tv. Typically, Jay is here, but Jay actually he had a friend of his mother passed away, so he's going to a funeral. So Dave, the electrician, is screening calls for us in the other room.
Way to bring up the show, by the way.
Yeah. So Dave, the electrician, Dave, I'll turn your mic on over there. We even have a fancy microphone out there.
Nice.
Hi, Dave.
Yes, Randy.
How are you?
Dave, you sounded excited to be on just then.
I am. This is exciting for me.
Yes, Randy.
Major star here.
That's right. I wish we had a we should have a digital camera that's in the station, because on our website we do have pictures with famous guests. Like there's a picture of me with April Margera from Viva La Bam.
Yeah.
And Bam's mother.
Yeah.
There's a picture of me with Joe France.
Yeah, he's from around here, isn't
he? Oh, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. That's what we're famous for here. Westchester is Bam Margera world.
My buddy used to, I just realized, my buddy used to be the Westchester reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, because he covered, because he did all this stuff, all these interviews with Bam.
Oh, what's
and
his
that
name?
Was, that was his beat, Ben Lowe. Benjamin Lowe.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that name. Well, okay.
Yeah, he and I went to college together. We were fraternity brothers. In fact, great Ben Lowe story, our birthdays, his is September 10th and mine September 11th. Mm-hmm. And so in 2001, he had just graduated. He graduated a year before me. He came back to the city, and we went out the night of the 10th. That was our tradition. We would mm-hmm. always go out the night of the 10th to celebrate both of our birthdays.
Sure.
Well, one of our buddies who was out with us ended up hooking up with this awful girl he never should have hooked up with,
mm-hmm.
except he worked in the Trade Center. So what ended up happening was she goes home with him, takes forever to leave in the morning
because mm-hmm.
she's insane. And then by the time he gets down to work, the first tower had fallen.
Oh, man.
And hooking up with her should have killed him.
Yeah.
But it ended up saving his life.
Wow. You know?
And it was because of – and then Ben ended up being the only Inquirer reporter in the city. Because,
wow.
Because, you know, the city is all locked down.
Mm-hmm.
And he was up there, you know, for his birthday. And he ended up covering – it's like his first month on the job.
Wow.
And he ended up covering 9/11 because of it.
Damn.
And we saved our friend's life and possibly gave him herpes. But we still saved his life, which is
– that's where I was going.
I got there before you.
I was going to make it like making light of September 11th joke. Well, he has the clap, but you know.
Yeah, it's well. I mean, there are so many stories
sure.
like that, you know. Yeah, and you hear all these stories, but that is actually one of my favorite ones.
Wow, that's great.
You know, just the you know. So turns up hooking up with a slutty girl sometimes will save your life.
Yeah,
if done on the right day in the right circumstances, it'll save your life.
Chlamydia saved him.
Yeah, exactly. It's how often can you say that?
Wow. All right. 610-692-3131. 610-692-3131. So typically, like if I went to a break, Jay would play the commercials. But so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to play like a sweeper and run over that room and play the commercials. But we're going to be back.
Nice.
This will be exciting. We're going to be back in just a moment here with very funny comedian, the thinking man's comic, Mr. Steve Hofstetter.